Hey, happy Memorial Day weekend. I hope you are all doing well. And we are going to continue on in our study through the Gospel of Luke. Today we are in Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 56. So Luke 9, 51 through 56. Starting in 51, when the days were approaching for his ascension, he was determined to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead of him, and they went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make arrangements for him. But they did not receive him, because he was traveling toward Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them and said, "You do not know what kind of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And they went on to another village. This is the word of the Lord. Father, we come today just to learn more of your ways. We know that your ways are not our ways, and so we ask that, Lord, you would still use us despite ourselves. Lord, we ask that you would deepen our walk, that you would deepen our faith, and that you would deepen our love. And in Jesus' name we ask and we pray these things. Amen. So typically Memorial Day weekend is a big travel weekend, and this probably isn't going to be how it normally would be. But regardless, we're still going to talk about travel. Specifically, we're going to talk about a journey, because our text today brings us into what's known as the travel section of Luke. It's this huge section in Luke's gospel that occurs as Jesus is traveling to Jerusalem. And it's full of parables. It's full of these amazing interactions, these encounters with various people as Jesus is leading his followers on this journey that will ultimately lead to the cross. And our writer Luke provides this journey narrative in a very unique way, because he does not lay it out in like chronological order. He doesn't even lay it out in like a point A to B travelogue. It's just kind of like all these stories placed in there, almost seemingly random. But what he's doing is he is focusing on the content within the trip, which is what makes it a journey. It's more about the experiences within it and how Jesus's approach to all these experiences serves in a way to prepare his followers. So what Luke is doing for us, the reader, is he's pointing out that the purpose within the journey is the need for the journey itself to shape and develop a people who will hear and obey the word of God. So we're just going to jump in and see how Jesus leads his disciples on this journey. Verse 51, when the days were approaching for his ascension, he was determined to go to Jerusalem. So we're placed right in the journey. And Luke lets us know right from the beginning that Jesus knows where he was going and he knows what he is to do. And when Luke says that he was determined, he's pulling this saying, which is coming directly from Isaiah 50, where Isaiah says he set his face as a flint. Like there is an intention, there is a focus within Jesus that's driving him to this destination of Jerusalem. He is in the perfect will of the Father, and he is on his way to accomplish this plan of salvation for humanity that's laid out before him. And what he's doing is now he is leading his disciples to Jerusalem. Yet, while he does this, he is taking every opportunity, every chance to redeem the time with them and to help them to wrap their heads around the mission, to help them to see the true Jesus, the true King, the true kingdom as it is. And he's using every opportunity as a teaching lesson, just as he does today. So he's leading them to Jerusalem. Now, there are two common ways that you would get to Jerusalem in first century. And one was known as the Jerusalem Road. This is by far the most common way to travel if you were in the northern country heading down to Jerusalem. This was the safest way, the easiest way to travel. The trade-off is that it took a bit longer because it was out of the way. You know, your second option was more direct, but this one by far the safest. And this one was the one that was used by the Jews commonly at this time. So option number two, though, was called the Samaritan Road, which was this much more rugged path. And it led through unfriendly territory. Now, the Samaritan path, though, the Samaritan Road was the most direct route. It took you right to Jerusalem. But for the Jews, it was absolutely the path less traveled. So which one do you think Jesus takes? You probably already know, right? 52. And he sent messengers on ahead of him, and they went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make arrangements for him. So Jesus chooses a path that is almost certain now to bring opposition, almost certain to contain difficulty or distress, yet it is the most direct way to his final destination, Jerusalem. And oddly enough, it places him and his disciples in a place that they would not normally expect to be found in. So the scene is like this. Jesus and his followers, they set out on a journey. They got a journey before them, and they come to this fork in the road, and Jesus takes the path that they don't expect. And not only that, but as they begin down this path, which would probably bring them anxiety and uncertainty, Jesus stops and he says this. He says, hold on, you know what? Why don't you guys go ahead of me and just grab a nice hotel. Find a nice place to eat and sleep, okay? You just head up ahead and get things ready. So essentially, he's asking them to go into enemy territory and set up camp. Like, what's going through their heads right now is, what is he doing? Like, why is he doing this? Why are we going this way? Why does he send us before him? He's the king, so maybe... you know, he's establishing his kingdom. Maybe this is his way of establishing his kingdom. And maybe what he's going to do is he's going to go into the Samaritan villages and kind of like hit them first, right? Before we head to Jerusalem and really stir things up. So they listen. They do just as Jesus asks them. Up to this point, that's what matters. Do they listen to him or not? And they do. They do it. And so Luke, very interestingly, uses this word messengers to describe the disciples. And it's a very interesting way to describe them, because that word that he uses is used over and over again to describe angels. Angels are the ones who bring a direct word of God to earth. So Luke takes this time to stamp the disciples with that they're bearing a message to the Samaritan village directly from God, is what he's saying. And what he's also doing is he's referencing like the Exodus story, that this trip from the north country to Jerusalem is a new type of exodus. We looked at that when we looked at the transfiguration story, the mountaintop experience. This is a new exodus, only this time with Jesus leading. And like it says in Exodus 23:20, behold, I am going to send an angel before you to guard you along the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Angels deliver divine messages from God. And Luke is telling us that to be a follower of Jesus means that You are to join him in the journey. And to join him is to hear him and obey him. And by hearing Jesus, by obeying Jesus, we are then bringing a message from God himself to them. God loves to involve his creation and his plan of salvation. And the whole question, though, is, are we willing to be used? So these guys are, right? And they faithfully walk into the village, regardless of what they thought Jesus was going to do, regardless of their expectations, they're faithful, and they honor Jesus's request, and they walk into the village, and they try to get some accommodations. And what happens? What happens? Verse 53, but they did not receive him, because he was traveling towards Jerusalem. When they are not welcomed, look what it says. It says that they, the Samaritans, did not receive him. So even though the disciples went in there, they represented Jesus. And by rejecting them, they are rejecting Jesus. But why? Why would they just reject him like that? I mean, why would they just not let him stay? Why wouldn't they give him a chance at least? It says why? Because he was traveling toward Jerusalem. So that's a very odd reason to refuse someone, isn't it? Based on where they're going. Hey, where are you going? Oh, you're going to New York? Yeah. No, you're not staying here. Where are you heading? Stranger, to Florida? Well, then you're not staying here. No way. That's an odd reason to not let someone stay. But the heart of this is in the divide of the Samaritans and the Jews. Because the Samaritans, they hate the Jewish people. And the feeling is mutual. This is something that's gone on for many, many years. The Samaritans, they're this group of Jews that intermarried with non-Jewish colonists. And you can trace this back in the Old Testament. What happened is they began to change the way that they were brought up believing. They adopted a completely new view of the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament, and they rejected many of the Jewish teachings and writings and beliefs. They rejected Jerusalem as being the Holy Land. So they ended up setting up their own temple of worship, their own Passover celebration. And so then what would happen is when Jewish travelers would come through on their way to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover, it infuriated the Samaritans. So this is all about an us versus them mentality. You know, we're right, they're wrong. This is how we do it. This is how they do it. And it's not right, so we'll have nothing to do to them. They both began in their worship of Yahweh, but the ways and the practice that the Samaritans did it has been skewed so much because they've allowed outside religions and outside practices to alter how they actually view God. And that became this huge source of division that led to prejudice, that led to conflicts, it even led to violence. So when they hear that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, like that is his goal, that is his ultimate destination, they immediately form this opinion of him. And they choose to reject him. They choose to separate themselves from what he's bringing, and they choose to judge these visitors and completely reject them. Sadly enough, without even knowing why he is going there, what his ultimate plan is. And as we're going to see, Jesus' guys do basically the same thing. But as we read this, you got to constantly keep in mind that Jesus chose this path. He chose this. It's intentional that they're going through this village. It's intentional that they went this roundabout, or it's not roundabout, it's direct, but they went this difficult way, this uncommon way, for a reason. These aren't the people that would accept him. This isn't the easy way, yet he chooses this way to reach out to them. Verse 54, when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" So this is typical James and John, the sons of thunder. That's their nickname. They see Jesus. They see their master, their teacher, their rabbi being rejected by these Samaritans. And they have a response for these guys. Like, let's call down fire from heaven on these guys. Let's burn them. Let's destroy them. They are the enemy. They don't see you as king, so let's get rid of them, Jesus. Here we go. Establishing your kingdom, right? These guys are ready to rumble. So why are they like ready to call down fire from heaven? Well, if you recall, not too long ago, there was an event that made a huge impact on them. They went to a mountaintop, Peter, James, and Simon, and they saw Jesus transformed. They saw him glorified before their eyes. And Elijah and Moses were there with Jesus. And they were talking about Jesus going to Jerusalem. So these guys are drawing from that experience. And they're asking themselves, okay, we were there. We were there with Elijah and Moses. What would they do? What would those guys do in a situation like this when they're in front of a people who are worshiping a false god, who don't accept the king? You know, when Elijah and Moses brought a message from God and the people rejected it, when they worshiped other gods, what did they do? They called down fire from heaven. They called down judgment. So James and John think that this is the response they should have. They were on that mountain. They're in the inner circle. So let's let them have it, right? Let's judge these Samaritans. They think that this is why Jesus brought them through Samaria, to judge the Samaritans. But they mistook the reason that he went this way. It wasn't to judge. It was to reach them. It was to reach out to them and give them the opportunity. Verse 55. But he turned, this is Jesus, turned and rebuked them and said, "You do not know what kind of spirit you are of." So do you see that? Jesus isn't rebuking the Samaritans for rejecting him, but he rejects his own followers for rejecting the Samaritans. Jesus is teaching them something. He says, you know, you don't know what kind of spirit you are of, guys. Or guys, you don't know yourself, really. See, you don't see how much of yourself, how much of the world, how much of your flesh is driving your actions. You're failing to see how your response toward others, how your approach with those who have opposing views, how this is actually the way that you respond is creating a deeper void. That you're not building a bridge to them at all, but you're actually creating more of a division. That you are, in fact, adopting the very same us versus them mentality that caused the Samaritans to reject me to begin with. And when you respond in that same way, you only enhance that. You don't see the damage that you're doing. And therefore, you're completely mistaken my mission as well, because you're so wrapped up in that. Verse 56, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went on to another village. See, the purpose of Jesus taking them down the Samaritan road was not to pull them into enemy territory as like a takeover. This wasn't so they'd be able to argue or dispute or fight or even destroy the Samaritans. But in fact, it was to extend a hand out. It was to reach out to them, to help them, to save them. The way of Jesus is marked by mercy, not judgment. And the lesson is that he's not some militant, aggressive king coming to perform a takeover and to judge, but he's actually coming to save. To the point where he will actually die for those people. That was why he was going to Jerusalem. If they had only taken the time to find out why he was going, to save them. This isn't a war march to Jerusalem, but this is a rescue plan. And just like any rescue mission, it's going to take you into the heart of the danger or the hard place. It's not the easy path. It's not the Jerusalem road. To save a drowning person, you got to go in to the deep waters. To save the lost person, you must go in to the dark forest. And to save these people, to reach out to them, they have to go down this road to get to them, to be in the midst of them, to dwell with them, to show them love and to show them mercy, not to show them anger and judgment. That the Samaritans reject Jesus, that should not matter to the disciples. They only simply need to be faithful with the message that they're given. And if it's not received, then they just move on. They continue on as messengers of Jesus, showing the love of Jesus, because that is the mission, to save. And what's important is that they stay on the road following him, because it's on the road, it's on this journey that their formation will take place. See, Luke lays out this whole middle section of his gospel in such a way to show us that we are all on a journey as followers of Christ, that this life is no more than a journey, a lifelong journey. It's a journey that, as we read this, we're going to see, we're going to watch the disciples as they go from victory to failure and back again. And this lasts the entire journey, all the way to Jerusalem, even up to and after Jesus' death. They are still learning this. They are still on the journey, the process. And the journey is just that. It's a series of events designed to grow them, to shape them. Just as our journey is the same thing, to grow us, to shape us. And we can view it as that. Or we can try and call fire down from heaven. The question, though, is which approach embarks us on a rescue mission? I hope you guys have a great day. I hope you have a great week. And take care.